And so let's look at Mark chapter 7. And if y'all could, I'd like for you to stand for the reading of God's Word today. We're going to be in Mark 7, starting at verse 24 through 30. Mark chapter 7, starting at verse 24. From there he arose and went to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and he entered a house and wanted no one to know it, but he could not be hidden. For a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him, and she came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. And Jesus said to her, "Let the children be filled first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And she answered and said to him, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For this saying, go your way, the demon has gone out of your daughter." And when she had come to her house, she found the demon gone out of her daughter, lying on the bed. Let's pray. Dear God, as this woman went home and found her daughter healed of this demonic spirit and the oppression that it was causing her, Lord, help us to know that you want us to bring our every problem to you as well, humbly. And so, Lord, help us to apply the Scripture to our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all can have a seat. And as you have notes in your bulletin, you can pull those out or you can just listen as we go along. But I want you to understand something. I think I can get an amen out of you guys today. We are all beggars in desperate need of Jesus crumbs. Whatever He can give us, Lord God, You have everything. And if we need it, You're the one to come to. So help us to always keep that in mind as we think about Jesus. All our hope is in Him. And you know, let's just remember that Jesus really is the solution. He's the solution. A lot of times we think all these solutions are really complex. And ultimately, He can't be hidden. Here's one of the saddest things I think that happens in our world today is so often the church is trying to hide our relationship with Jesus so we try to look like the rest of the world. Let us never do that, because I'm going to tell you, ultimately, deep down in a person's heart, they realize that there's a void there that they need to fill with something. That's why people chase after all these bad things. They're hoping those things, they don't know they're bad when they're chasing after them at first. They're thinking, maybe this will help me with this emptiness I'm feeling. And then they go into these, maybe, relationships that aren't good. Maybe this will help me with this emptiness that I'm feeling. And now, man, in this world today, there's like no boundaries to what people will try to fill the emptiness because they know that they have a need. But you see, whenever Jesus came into this region, as we look here in verse 24, He was actually wanting a little bit of quiet time. And it was kind of interesting. But you know what? They heard that He was there and He couldn't be hidden. Guys, whenever you live out your Christianity, let it show. And I'll tell you, whenever people have a need, they're going to come looking. They're going to remember that, you know, I saw this family in their distress. And you know what? They seemed to have a hope that was greater than their problem. And whenever that individual begins to feel that problem, they'll come looking to see if they can find the reason why you have that hope. Don't let Jesus be hidden in your life. Ultimately, He can't be. And you know what we're going to end up looking like in the long run? We're going to end up looking like a bunch of hypocrites if we're trying to hide Him. Isn't that what you hear sometimes? You hear people say, "Well, you know, I won't go to that church down there because there's nothing but a bunch of hypocrites there." Have you ever heard that? Guys, we actually look pretty ridiculous whenever we're trying to hide the fact that we are believers in Jesus Christ. Let's just go ahead and live it. Let's live it out. Let's try to look more like Christ every day. Let's go ahead and love our neighbor like He tells us to. Let's go ahead and show it. Do you ever feel like just going over to the neighbor's house and just loving them? Just giving them cookies or something? Or just telling them that you care about them, you're praying for them? And a lot of times we think, well, they'll think I'm silly. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever been inspired? You just saw somebody in the store and God just put it in your heart to just go over to them and say, "Hey, I just wanted to let you know Jesus loves you." Have you ever felt inspired to do that? Have you ever let Satan talk you out of doing it? You know what? One time I was driving down the road and I had this neighbor girl, and she could give off an air or an attitude that was repelling. She knew how to be grumpy, and it would really push people away. And I know why. It's because her home life was not very good, and she didn't feel very loved, and so she kind of almost made it to where it could be hard to love her, you know. And so other people, can you relate? Have you ever known somebody like that, or maybe you've been somebody like that before? Well, one day I was driving home with my kids in the car from the bus stop, and I noticed she was walking, and it was raining. And I just felt really bad. And at times I tried to talk to her, just say hi or just wave or something, and she kind of gave me that repellence, you know what I'm saying? And just this one day, I just thought, I stopped, and I backed up a little bit, and I got out, and I said, Alicia, do you want to ride home? I said, you're welcome to hop in the car. I hate to see you walk in the rain. And, you know, it didn't really go very far. And, you know, it didn't really seem to affect her. But she stood up in church later on. Her grandpa was a part of the church that we went to and everything. But she stood up in church some years later, and she admitted something. She said, she gave a testimony, so to speak. She said, there was this day in my life, and I had decided I was going to go home. Nobody wanted me around. I was just going to kill myself. And she said, I was serious about it. I'd done thought about the way. She said, there was this person that stopped and offered me a ride, and I'm just going to tell you, it changed everything for me. And I'm just going to tell you guys, there's no way that I could have imagined that little bitty offer would have that kind of an impact. But what I want you to know is, don't try to hide Christ. Let Him live through you, because people know they have a need. And they may at times even make fun of us for being, you know, out there with our faith. But I'm going to tell you something, guys. Let's realize it's wrong to try to hide Him, and He really can't be hidden. So let's just go ahead and offer Him to those who are in need. And, you know, we've got this lady that comes along, and it's really interesting, but you know, as we think about this, we've got a lot of ladies like this lady who's looking to Jesus here. But we got to realize that the church needs to be affecting the world, not trying to reflect the world. We don't want to look. So often the church wants to look like the world. You know, we want to dress like the world, act like the world, whatever the fads are. Eventually it kind of creeps into the church. But we need to ask ourselves the question, do you want to look like Jesus when you stand before the Father? Whenever I stand before the Father, you know, the only righteousness that the Father's going to see in John Jones will be the fact that I belong to Jesus. When He looks at me, whenever the Father looks at me, I want Him to see His precious Son who lived a perfect life and died for me. That's who I want Him to see. Guys, so if that's what I want Him to see whenever I get there, let's try not to hide it on earth. Do I get an amen? Let's live for Christ all full out. Let's just live for Him. Amen. Let's let Him be reflected in us instead of trying to reflect the world. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 through 33, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Let's take heed that we don't try to hide Jesus, that we don't try to look like the world. Let's take heed and be proud that we are Christians, not in a prideful way, but in an outward way, that it's the most important thing about me. Most important thing about me is that I belong to Christ. Yes, I look different than the world. I hope I do. I want to look more like Jesus. Jesus ain't going to look like the world, guys. And so you got to understand that, like, Jesus truly is the answer to every problem. He's the answer to every problem. He's also the answer to everyone's problem. He's an answer. He's the answer to the sin problem. He's the answer to our salvation problem. And He is also the answer to our everyday problems. You see, because in Christ we find the fullness of the Godhead dwelling, and whenever we go to look into Him, we're going to find the solution to our problems. And so we've got this woman here in Mark chapter 7 who comes. And I can tell you, she was feeling a little bit on the outside because she wasn't part of the Jewish community. But you know what? She came to Jesus anyways. She came to him whenever he was kind of hiding out. She came to him and she continued to persist toward him, and because she knew he had the answer to her problem. Now, I'm just going to ask you something. I've got quite a few folks in here that have a strong relationship with caring for children, whether they be your physical, biological child, or a niece or a nephew, or children in your family or whatever. Whenever your child or your grandchild or your you know, whoever you're strongly connected with has a problem, don't you want to help them find a solution? Won't you like just go to all lengths to try to help find them a solution? You know, because there's like something in us that cries out, that person can't help themselves and I want to help them. And so here's the deal. You know, this woman, her daughter had a problem. And she knew that like she wasn't really from the right line of people to really be getting to this Jewish rabbi and getting this close to him. But here's the thing. She knew she had a problem, and this problem was a big enough problem that it was motivating her. And so she was motivated by her love for her daughter who had an unclean spirit. She heard about him and she came. And you know what she did? She fell at his feet. Now I want you to see what this is representing, guys. I'm just going to tell you, he's the answer to everyone's problems. He's the answer to our problems. And you know what we need to do? We need to go and get before him humbly. We need to fall at his feet. We need to be willing to humble ourselves. Maybe even embarrass ourselves a little bit. You know, we need to realize that like he's the only one who can really solve the problem. So what are we going to do? Are we just going to shrug it off? I hope not. But let's follow her just a little bit further, because we find something else. She knew he had the answer to her problem. And let's see what she did about it. She fell at his feet in humility, and she showed that humility, and she also showed it through her persistence. For this woman who had that daughter, who had that unclean spirit, after she heard about him, she fell at his feet. Look at what she does next. The woman, first of all, she was a Greek, Syrophoenician, and look at what she did. She kept asking him. I like that word, kept. Yeah, we got the asking part, and sometimes we think, well, I asked one time, you know, that's good enough. It wasn't good enough for this lady, because she was motivated by great love and a great desire to see this problem straightened out in her daughter's life. She kept asking. She continued to ask. I'm going to tell you what she did. She showed us an example of persisting in prayer. We need to persist in prayer. Guys, prayer is work. Prayer is discipline. You know how long you should persist in prayer? As long as God keeps putting it on your heart. You keep persisting. You keep asking. You keep going to Him until you get an answer. Now I'm going to say, guys, we need to let God lead us in this. We need to allow Him to be the one that puts it in our heart. And we need to respond to that, because I'm going to tell you, God will lead us in how to pray. He'll lead us on when to pray. He'll lead us in how often to pray. But you know what we do sometimes? I think sometimes we quench the spirit. And we'll say, well, I already prayed about that. Just leave it alone. Guys, this woman kept asking. And she was asking that her daughter's problem. She had spiritual eyes to see what the problem was. You notice? She actually realized her daughter had an evil spirit, an unclean spirit. You know, oftentimes I think we kind of shrug off spiritual problems. When we start making it into everything's just a physical problem, guys. I can tell you, I'd say 99% of the problems we see in our nation right now are spiritual problems more than physical problems. We really need some spiritual healing. And I'm going to tell you, Jesus is the only answer for them. So we need, as the church, the people of God, the only ones who know what to do about this, we need to keep praying. We need to keep asking. And that's what she did. She kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. She was specific in her prayer. She was persistent in her prayer. And she kept on with her prayer. Right before him, herself. She didn't expect somebody else to do it. Guys, humility and persistence. And there's one more ingredient that we see here. We see perseverance. I'm going to tell you, his answer to her seemed harsh. Did that not seem a little harsh to y'all? The red letters there, they kind of hurt. He said to her, let the children be filled first. You know, he actually came to the Jewish people first. We do realize that. And so basically he's restating this, that he was there for the Jewish children first. For it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Guys, I'm going to tell you, I'm just being honest, and I'm speaking from a human standpoint here. I think that would have offended me. I think I would have been offended by that statement if I was standing in her shoes. But I want you to understand something, guys. If you're ever offended by God, it's not because he's wrong. It's because we're the one who needs to be humble and corrected. And I want you to see what this woman did next. She still was keeping in mind she loved her daughter. She was keeping in mind her daughter had a problem she couldn't fix. She was keeping in mind he was the solution and the only solution. She was keeping in mind that she had kept on asking him, and even after she got this kind of reply, you know what she said? She answered him and said, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs. You know what she was saying? I'm not ashamed to let it be seen that I'm nothing better than a beggar, but you got the crumbs I need. Just a crumb from under his table was going to be enough to heal her daughter. Guys, sometimes I think we in the American Christian Church are a little too proud about how we approach God. I want you to understand God wants us to be humble. And you know what he was saying to this lady is what we all really need to hear. We're really none of us any better than just a beggar when we come to him, because we don't have what we need. We can't make it up. We can't manufacture it ourselves. He's the only one who's got it, and he's the king, and we are not. And you know what? When we ask, let us ask in humility. Let us realize our position, and let us know and persevere to know he's got the answer to our problem. We need to persevere until we have the answer. Look at what Jesus' response is. For this saying, go your way, the demon has gone out of your daughter. And you know what? She got to go home and experience seeing a miracle. Why? Because she was willing to be humble, she was willing to be persistent, and she was willing to persevere. Now, church, are we willing to be humble? Are we willing to be persistent? And are we willing to persevere? Jesus told us to in the Sermon on the Mount. If you want to look at the last scripture that we're going to look at here today, he told us to ask. Remember it kind of this way, because the A-S-K actually stand for three words. Both the first word is just those letters, ask. The second word is seek. The third word is knock. And Jesus gave us an explanation on this. These are present imperatives. It's something in the present tense, and it's something we need to be doing right now, and we need to keep doing it, and we must do it. It's imperative that we do it. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you, for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be open. Guys, that's a promise. God's given us a promise. Now the question is, are we going to be persistent to pursue that promise? Let's stop trying to look like the world, and let's start being humble and trying to reflect Jesus to a lost world. And let's go even one further. Let's see their problems and realize he's got the answer, and let's go and be persistent about asking him to heal them. And at times it may be to heal me. I may have to ask for myself. Some people say, well, you can pray for others, but don't pray for yourself. Guys, if I'm the only one know I have a certain problem and I don't pray for myself, who else is going to pray for me on that problem that nobody else knows about? So I better pray for myself. And while I'm there, I better be praying for my wife, my children, for you all, praying by name as God brings you to my heart, and be persistent about it. It's the most important thing the church does. Let me pray for you. Dear Father, to ask, seek, knock is what you have called us to. It's part of that discipleship process, both me being discipled and me being able to disciple others. Lord, not only teaching them how to do it, but teaching and learning from you how I should do it myself. Let us take lessons from this dear, precious Greek woman who was outside of the family of God before she had this encounter. But she had enough knowledge to know that you had the answer and she wasn't going to stop asking until she received the answer. So Lord, help us to be the same. Help us to always remember, sometimes your answer looks different than what we expect. Sometimes your answer is yes. And man, we love that answer. Sometimes your answer is no. And you have told me no on things. What I've come to realize is when you tell me no on one thing, it's because you got a better plan. Help me to accept that as an answer as well. And sometimes your answer is to wait, because we'll get the answer later, which is still a better plan, because you're working out something way bigger than what we realize. But there's one prayer that I know that you'll never turn anybody away from and tell them no, and that's when they come and pray to receive you as their Lord and Savior. You promised us that if anyone comes to you, prompted by the Holy Spirit, repents of their sins and asks Jesus to be their Lord, that you will not turn them away. That's a promise from God, and you never break a promise. So help us, Lord, to stand on your promises. Help us to be persistent, to be humble, to persevere for ourselves, for those around us, for our family members, for our neighbors, and even for this nation and the world, for our brothers and sisters who are in chains. Lord, let us, each and every one of us, set aside time to pray each and every day in kind of an undivided way, and even throughout the day, to be in a conversation with you in our minds. But Lord, help us to make sure that we don't lose hope, lose focus, or try to hide the fact that we belong to you. In Jesus' name, amen.